Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show, May 8th, 2010. This was an exciting week. We haven't been done a Sunday live Sunday show or semi-live Sunday show for 2 weeks. So we'll be continuing on with the, from 2 weeks ago, the tape you're listening to. We were in San Francisco, saw some of you up there. It was great. Of course, the whole thing politically got crazy with Osama bin Laden being removed. Although we're still wondering why they buried him at sea and where's the pictures. Of course, everybody knows that 9/11 was an inside job on many levels. Marvin Bush had just finished putting up the explosive charges a few days before 9/11 actually happened. And I'm sure that you have done your own research by now. And we saw, we were lucky to see a Charlie Sheen and say hi to him up there in San Francisco. He was doing a great show and donating a lot of money to the people that got, the man that got hurt, the paramedic that got hurt at the baseball game, got beat up, who's in an induced coma, which is kind of sad. It's another reason why the apocalypse was probably necessary for some people. So anyhow, without any further ado, we're going to continue on with last 2 weeks ago's tape.
4 hours of meditation and peace. And the system will take up a large amount of strychnine and go into like a spasm. You have to work through that and go into a peaceful thing. And each time as the poison decreased in the body, it pulled out other toxins with it. And the experience was a very high euphoric experience on the second day. The American Indians did the same thing, the same exercise as the Tibetans only did with a rattlesnake bite. The rattlesnake bite, where the grave was put in a circle of rocks in a sacred burial ground, or a sacred ground, and they had the blessings of the tribe. So this kept the air purified during this out-of-body experience so that some low influence didn't take the body, and the brave would let the snake bite him several times on the first day, and then he would be on a fast for 3 or 4 days, maybe 7 days. And there was no administration to the poison in the body. It was not removed. It was consumed and converted. So that means that a human being with colon problems, with worms, can absorb the poison, can utilize the poison, but it's not the best way to go, and it's not the desired experience. So the idea is to remove these things. The second thing that we find in colon therapy is the small intestine feeds the large intestine, and there's a valve called the ileocecal valve. Most people have a jammed or blocked ileocecal valve. I was a vegetarian for about 7 years before I had my first colonic, and I had a blocked valve. So when we put the barium in through here, the barium not only showed the deficiencies in the large intestine, but it went up in the small intestine as well. So the oxygen water treatments with what they give to get rid of this condition will also open this valve and it'll cause it to work properly. Okay? And digestion is an important thing to understand. And basically, the way the digestive process works in the human being is this. The enzyme is a chemical product or a chemical property that we all have. We have different enzymes to break down different foods. And the enzyme goes in on a chemical reaction, but is not consumed by that chemical reaction. So if we eat some food, and that's going to be broken down to form protein, certain enzymes are always required. Now the body can only process so many enzymes at a time. That's why they'll tell you to mix carbohydrate and fruit, or fruit and protein, or carbohydrate and protein, but not to mix fruit and vegetables. Things like that, certain combinations, because the body cannot manufacture all these enzymes and produce them and digest them and process them in the stomach. So you end up with some kind of an alimentary canal problem because you combine the wrong foods. That's why we have these little food charts out now. And a good thing that I learned from Pablo Arroyo, which I've always done, is that when you eat salads, eat your salad last in a meal. Don't eat it first, because the salad distributes the hydrochloric acid all over the stomach. So the hydrochloric acid is needed along with the digestive enzyme pepsin to break down large fat molecules. So if those of you that are eating meat and other heavier foods, if you eat the salad first, there's no hydrochloric acid left. So what happens is the meat is pushed on down through the alimentary canal and ends up impacting the colon and constipation as a result. So eat the salad last. That's why in Europe they always serve the salad last. So now when you eat food, you start chewing the food. First thing you do is you start releasing enzymes. Okay? The enzymes are released in the saliva. They're stored in the salivary duct. It's inside the mouth. The food with the enzyme is brought down into the stomach. There, it combines and begins to form the amino acids. The amino acids are called peptides and polypeptides. The best reason not to eat meat was the formation of these amino acids, because if you look at the peptides in an animal and the peptides in a human being, the peptides are in an animal are different than a human being, and the human body cannot absorb the aminos properly. An example of that, well, let's draw a typical thing right here. Here, these would be like papain, pepsin, and that. These would be peptides forming polypeptides, and they're carbon atom chains in the body. Now the first one would represent a chain, and when these things are lined up like this, you have a complete amino acid. If in the case of an animal, you eat an animal product, the first three might line up, the second three might line up, and they're absorbed, and they become denser. So this is an amino acid that's already in the body. This is the one to be digested. And as they digest, they combine chemically, making the nucleus of each amino more dense or solid. But in the case of an animal, maybe the first six would combine, but the last three would not. So you get a cancellation reaction. So two-thirds of the animal product did something, and one-third didn't. The one-third that didn't, what it does is causes an allergic condition in the body. And immediately when anybody eats meat, if you measure your blood pressure and your heartbeat, the blood pressure always goes up 20 to 30% when any person ever eating meat. Now, when the blood pressure and the heartbeat goes up 20 to 30% on the eating of meat, immediately causes the heart to go up in this rate, and it causes more heartbeats. The heart has X number of billions of beats in a lifetime, and if you're constantly eating meat, you're shortening the lifespan of the heart. The next condition that happens is in the arteries in the skin, epithelial cells. And what happens there is if you look at the skin, here's the surface of the skin, I'll draw it here, right here, coming up like this. And epithelial cells in the arteries, the way the blood supply comes up, it makes a sharp bend at the surface of the skin and comes back down again. Well, what happens is when you're eating meat, the allergenic response causes an erosion at the top part of this blood vessel where it comes out to the surface of the skin. Just like if you have it like the Mississippi River, when certain rains come, it starts eroding out certain banks on the outside. This happens every time you eat meat. When this happens, the body has to repair that damage, and that's what cholesterol is for. So the body immediately, when this toxic condition comes out, starts secreting cholesterol. So that therefore, every time you eat meat, it causes a erosion of the arteries, an increase in heartbeat, an increase in blood pressure, and a secretion of cholesterol. That's why a lot of people on high cholesterol and low cholesterol diets can't get the same results, because some of them on a high cholesterol are meat eaters and some of them aren't. Okay? That's the reason why, because of that toxic reaction. Whereas a vegetable protein, like a tomato, for example, won't cause this reaction in the body. Now, I'm not saying those of you that are eating meat don't do like I did. When I learned all these medical facts about meat eating, I immediately stopped eating meat, instantly. Just right there, triple Leo, right? No more meat eating. And what I did 2 years later is I went into protein deprivation. And when protein deprivation manifested on me, I came one day, I was looking, I had a normal arm, and all of a sudden, this area in my arm turned bright red and swelled up a half an inch. And every portion of my body, this area of my chest, swelled up, became bright red, swelled up a half an inch. Areas on my legs, here, here, and here. My face, my cheeks swelled up, and my neck. So I was like a patchwork quilt. That condition lasted for 4 hours, and then it completely went neutral again, and the area that was swollen red went neutral, and the area that wasn't swollen swelled up. And I did that for 2 weeks. And then finally I found out that I had protein deprivation. And one of my teachers at the School of Actualism in San Diego, I went down there to him and asked him, what's happening to me? I'm flashing hot, flashing cold. I couldn't feel any mental changes, but I knew something was wrong with my body. He said, protein deprivation. He sat me down and says, you're going to have a steak. And I says, wait a minute. I can't digest meat. I haven't had a piece of meat in 2 years. He says, bet me. And he started frying the steak on the stove, and that smelled good. And I sat down and I ate that whole steak, and I felt so good afterwards. And my body immediately was recovered from that. Didn't go into that shock anymore. So if you go off meat, don't go off it. You know, immediately go off it over a period of 7 years. It takes 7 years for the body to regenerate a complete set of organs. And all of the endocrine glands have different hormones in them and different enzymes in them that have trained us to digest and assimilate the food as we know it in our habitual pattern. So when you make a transition, make one transition 7 years. If you're going off meat, you eat it 7 days a week, cut it down for the first year to say 5 days a week. And alternate your fish and your meat and your chicken like that.
I believe we finished that up now, so we can go on to the next one, which will be kind of cool. And let me see what I've got. I got it laid out here. I think you'll get a kick out of this one. I'm going to see if there's anything on the other side of this first. Let me see here. We covered side A, side B. I'm going to run this down and see if there is a side B. And if there is, there is. There isn't, there isn't. I forgot. Some of these tapes are two-sided and some of them are one-sided. Some of them are X-sided. But we'll know in a minute here because we don't want to miss any good information, seeing as everybody's got their ear to the speaker or the headphone right now. Okay. Fast forward this puppy. Get down there and finish up. Now, let me see what's on the other side here, other because I've got something else all ready to go. See if Dr. Bell's hiding on this tape. I think he is. I don't think there's anything else. Can't hear them, but I've got birds in the background, too. Okay, that one's over. So now what we'll do is we'll start this new one. This took place when I filled in for another speaker, so it kind of starts out a little bit funny, but that's how it goes. As soon as this, I think I was, I'm not sure if I was in Europe when I did this one or where I was, but somewhere. Yep. Sometimes the airlines run late. Let's see here. It's playing, yeah.
And then instead, I think you'll enjoy hearing Dr. Fred Bell.
I think this has a little lower volume level. So we'll crank it up a little.
The importance of it and how it affects our energy. And I think your time will be well spent.
There we
go. Let me introduce Dr. Fred Bell. Thank you.
Well, it's fun being back here again. I haven't been here to Florida in about 4 years. And Pat and I have been friends for a long time. We've developed a lot of similar devices. I'm sure a few of you remember a few years ago we brought the pyramids out. Remember the pyramids? We still have those, but they're hard to, people have trouble getting used to them on an ego level. So what we did is we developed other things that we'll have in our booth. But today I'd like to talk about few things. How many of you were at my lecture this morning early? Okay. How many of you were not? Okay, we want to, when we talk about energy or energy, we've got to understand, first of all, what is going on to block the energy-energy connection in our bodies. Energy is primarily alignment, alignment to the true nature and vibration that our bodies are made up of. This is a report that was put out by 19 different federal agencies of the U.S. government called the Global 2000 Report. And it outlines about 50 different things that are going on in our lives today that basically make them hard to live. It talks about, for example, air pollution. How many of you have noticed weather changes that we've had? Okay, weather changes are oftentimes caused by the tremendous doubling of the carbon dioxide level of this planet right now due to the expulsion of fossil burning gases into the air from the fossil fuels like the high altitude jet aircraft, things like that. Also, the ozone layer. How many of you have heard about the destruction of the ozone layer? How many of you know what the first symptoms of the destruction of the ozone layer would be? Does anybody know? No, symptoms, okay. One of the first things that happens with the destruction of the ozone layer, one of the first symptoms, is a frequency of seasonal viruses. Our body has a white blood cell immune system in it. And we need nucleic acids to help reproduce white blood cells. And when ultraviolet coming from the sun is hurt by the ozone layer because it's not there anymore, it destroys the nucleic acids within our body. There's 12 billion nucleotides within our own bodies. DNA, for example, when you're born, is 34 base turns. DNA is deoxyribonucleic acid. DNA is necessary for the cell to get a full set of instructions. When you get older and you're stressed by radiation, you're stressed by the ozone layer, you're stressed by carbon monoxide poisoning and positive ion poisoning, what happens is DNA starts to unwind. And so by the time you're 50 years old, you've only got 6 base pairs per turn. Luckily, though, today in the life extension technologies that we have, we're able to reproduce the DNA strands back at least to 10 base pairs per turn. So there are alternative things that we can deal with and present to you, but first of all, we need to know the problems on hand, okay? Now, in positive and negative ionization, how many of you are familiar with what negative ions do for you? How many of you know? How many of you know what positive ions do? How many of you don't know anything about either one of them? Okay, great. First of all, negative ions are necessary to reproduce cells. You can't reproduce cells in your body without negative ionization. Not one cell. Negative ions are necessary to feel euphoric. You ever feel euphoric versus depressed? Positive ions, when you breathe those, you feel depressed. Negative ions are necessary to have good health, to have vitality. For example, a person taking vitamin C, if they're in a negative ionized atmosphere, you'll have 4 times the assimilation of vitamin C with negative ionization. Now that means something. Your body needs 5 grams of vitamin C, right? Without vitamin C, the cells fall apart. Everything in the body falls apart. But a lot of people can't take 5 grams of vitamin C because of the acid reaction in their stomach. They have gastrointestinal problems, diarrhea, things like that. So with negative ionization, you can take 1 gram of vitamin C and get the benefits of 5. That's why we talk about efficiencies, okay? There are other devices like the nuclear receptor that's being developed, was developed for Dr. Donsbach, these kinds of devices. These are, and Flanagan's energy sensor, these kinds of devices work on what's called the precursor level of electricity. Used to be, they called the bioplasmic force, the chi energy, all these types of energy. But the bottom line is all of these types of energy forms are precursors to make electrical things happen in the body. When electrical things happen in the body, then biochemical things happen in the body. When biochemical things happen in the body, then the body functions. So in the health field, a lot of us got in at the lower level. We started out with biochemistry, and a lot of us would take one kind of vitamin, another kind of vitamin, and get results. Somebody else would try to take the same pattern, and they wouldn't get results. Why? Because the electrical precursors weren't there. That's why the polarizer and all the sensor and all these other things were developed, so that the precursor energy fields would be there. Now, in the body, in a healthy body, we reproduce our cells at 50 million per second. The red blood cell reproduces at the rate of 3 million per second. If you starve the body for negative ionizations, or if you're getting electrical toxic effects from radio transmitters and microwave and things like that, the body starts to shut down. It starts to go to sleep. When this happens, serotonin production goes up, and you get depressed, suicidal. So what has society done? Typically, they've turned to drugs, drug therapies, or hard narcotic type drugs, or alcohol, to cover up the effects of a degraded atmosphere and a degraded environment that we've created. Man today lives 180 degrees with nature. In other words, completely out of phase. Now, when we talk about... How many of you have heard about weather control and microwave, you know, and you've heard there's been things published on them, but you've never seen anything. You've heard about what the Russians have done. They put these centers up. They control thoughts and embassies and things like that. Well, here's a book that was written by a couple of PhDs at New York, at the University of New York, that talks about these things that you can get. And I think it's important when we make a presentation about different types of topics like today, especially what we'd call far-out topics, it's necessary to go and get documented, scientifically validated, published reports. This book is called The Biological Effects of Electric and Magnetic Fields of Extremely Low Frequencies. This is one book that's been out for some time. If you come to our booth, I'll give you information on ordering it in that. Okay? A second book, which was written a few years ago, was called Death of Ignorance. It'll be available again through Dr. Donsbach pretty soon. It was out of print for a while. It's a book that I put together. So these are some of the reference materials that I like to let people be warned that are available at this point. Now, talking back about ionization again, all right, it used to be that in nature we would have a balance of one negative ion to 1.2 positive negative ions. This was worldwide. Then we felt good. We felt natural. We felt normal. But man decided to throw the whole balance of the planetary energies out of phase. So we created all of these fossil-burning fuels. The technology turned a turn for the worse about 1929, 1930. How many of you have heard of Nikola Tesla? A few. Tesla is the one that's responsible for this microphone that I'm speaking through. Tesla is responsible for this light up here. Edison invented the bulb, but Tesla invented the means by the electricity could be brought to the bulb. He started his company, one of his companies was General Electric. He was backed by, originally, financially, by George Westinghouse. Westinghouse went to David Rockefeller, who owned the Chase Manhattan Bank, and said, look, this man has a series of wonderful inventions. They need to be brought to the world. Chase Manhattan Bank said, fine, but we'll pay no royalties. Tesla had originally made an agreement for $1 per horsepower. Bottom line was, Tesla got aced out of his royalties, and he couldn't continue his work. And his work at that time was brought to the public, you know, the transmission lines that you see over the, you know, these out here, the power poles, all these kinds of things. Well, as time went on, Tesla kept researching, and he found pretty soon that the radiation coming from these power poles produced a positive ion effect, which was hurting the human metabolic system. So he came out with a new system called Earth Resonance Generation, ERO. This is where he's using a frequency band of about 7.5 hertz or 7.5 cycles per second to produce electricity, which was now non-toxic and non-harmful for the body. And it didn't produce a waste into the atmosphere like we produce today from our hydroelectric generators and our nuclear power plants. So he went to Westinghouse with the idea and a working prototype. Westinghouse went to the Chase Manhattan Bank and they said, no way. Why? Because this energy, once the initial installations are put together, is free. We can't charge money. So at this point, greed overcame feeling, and we began the destruction of our system through technology. Now, one of the things that radiation has done, 60-cycle radiation has done for our bodies, it has harmed DNA in such a way that the body had to genetically mutate to produce a larger myelin sheath. Now, myelin sheath is something that covers the nerve up. It's made up of lecithin. When this happened, in order to accommodate this genetic change, the human body had to get larger. So as a result, after about 1920, the human body began to grow approximately 1 foot taller than it was worldwide. And if you go on any old sailing ship built before the early 20s, anything before that, you'll see that the average statutory height of a human being was just a little over 5 feet because the beds are real small, the berths are real small. So this was a positive effect that the body took. But a lot of times we get negative effects. Now, positive ion poisoning. When I worked with NASA, I used to work with the astronauts and Wernher von Braun in the early 60s before I joined the health movement. We found that positive ions, which are produced by automobile exhaust, bright lights, artificial synthetic carpets, the chairs you're sitting on, the clothes you're wearing, unless they're cotton or wool, all of these things have a tendency to raise biochemical things in the body, mainly serotonin, out of context with the rest of the body. Serotonin is a neurohormone that shuts down the emotional or feeling body. See, we have a physical body, we have a mental body, we have an emotional or astral body, we have an intuitive body. We have many bodies of energy within this physical body that we know. When we go into things like Carillion photography, for example, you can actually photograph these bodies of energy. The masses up until recently have not really understood or believed these things, but now today, because of where science has led us with the technologies that allow us to see the unseen and feel the unfeelable, we're beginning to realize that these things, in fact, do exist. So what happens next is thought forms are effect. As the masses begin to accept on a real-time level things here before called phenomenon, then they become a reality. And as a result, the consciousness of the planet is elevated and we come into what is called superphysical consciousness. How many of you do not know what superphysical consciousness means? Okay, let me explain something to you real briefly. This is a chart that I do in my seminars. The body is mineral. 5% mineral controls 95% of metabolic functions. We go from minerals to enzymes. Enzymes are things that go in to the body for digestive functions and come out of the body, and they're not used up. Enzymes have to do with pH. pH is potential hydrogen. Potential hydrogen is important because the energies of light come to our bodies through the hydrogen atom. Then we go from pH, from enzymes, to vitamins. Vitamins polarize the energies. That's why we have lava rotary and dextro rotary terminology in our vitamin therapies. We go from that technology to the protein in the body. So we go mineral, enzyme, vitamin, protein, neurohormone. Because proteins hook up in peptides and polypeptides forming neurohormones. Okay? We have 7 reservoirs in our body where these hormones are stored called endocrine glands. Endocrine glands. There's ones in the head. There's some in the heart. There's some in the stomach. When certain vibrations relax the body, the endocrine glands go out into the bloodstream, up into the brain. When they arrive in the brain, they turn the brain on or they turn the brain off because the brain acts like a switch. The brain then allows this consciousness to come within the body. We have 7 different levels of consciousness, one each to correspond to each one of the endocrine systems within our body. This is what teaches our body to have these 7 various factions. And strangely enough, within each endocrine gland, we have 7 sublevels of energies or 7 vibrations. Okay? So there's 7 sets of hormones, too. Now, going back to superphysical, what does that mean? Well, it means this. First of all, ordinary physical feeling, right? Let's say you want to feel euphoric. You turn an ion generator on. A negative ion goes into the body. When it goes inside the body, it turns on a synapse inside the brain that says, now I can possibly feel good. It's a precursor at that point. If the system that produced protein is there, we have lysine and arginine available in the body. It has commingled and gone into the pituitary gland to form vasopressin. So if we have lysine and arginine and it formed vasopressin and it's sitting in the pituitary gland, we breathe the negative ion. The vasopressin is secreted from the pituitary into the brain. The brain then turns on the feeling of good and you feel euphoric. Okay, that's ordinary consciousness. Energy is the same way. Energy is if we have copper worn on the body, or we run, or we exercise, or we stimulate the adrenals somehow. Then the cortisones come, and one of those is adrenaline, up into the brain. The brain turns on the level that says physical energy and we feel physical energy. Do you understand the basic flow now of what I'm talking about? I'm synthesizing a lot of things. Now, superphysical consciousness. Now, that's a little different. Science fiction becomes science fact. When I was a child, I used to watch the aerospace program. I used to watch, well, they didn't, you know, on television, it was science fiction. Man was going to the moon. This is back in the 40s. And I used to say, wow, I want to be part of this. You know, I want to see man go to the moon. But in the 40s, it was pure fantasy. Well, in the 60s, I was part of that project. And we did it. And it was more glamorous and a whole lot more exciting than the science fiction had even portrayed it. But now what do you see? You see Wonder Woman, Bionic Man, Million Dollar Man. All of these different things are coming on, showing us what we can do. And then you pick up the newspaper and you read, oh, woman picks up car off of sun because Jack collapsed. Or you read about Uri Geller or see him bending a spoon with his mind or having children do that. Or you hear about Vernon Craig from Bowling Green, Ohio, walking on 15 feet of hot coals. Or you hear about Sai Baba materializing spiritual ash for healing purposes. And he goes on and on. Or Sister Clarice over in India living on no food, living on air. The list is endless. And this is superphysical consciousness. What that means is these are people that have brought their bodies into balance. They have learned to relax. They have learned to exercise. They've learned to do and synthesize all of the things that are necessary. and then incorporate them in their daily life as though nothing was happening, and produce proteins in the body, connections of proteins, combinations of proteins that before were not produced, which then cause new types of hormones to form, and the hormones, when they go up into the brain, cause the brain to have new kinds of feelings, because everything boils down to a feeling. It's not a thought, it's a feeling. If you can't feel it on some level, you really can't relate to it. Isn't that true? Think how often, you know, how many times our feelings have gotten confused by our thoughts. I found that in my life, that my thoughts, you know, there's an old idiom from the East is that the mind is a slayer of the real. And I found that's very true. So these are things that we need to take into consideration. Now, what are we doing about it? Well, there's new formulas coming out for nutrition. Some of the formulas that we put together, for example, now have proteins in them. They have a complete B complex. They have protein precursors with the vitamins. They have herbs. Some herbs have whole hormone complements. These then are stored in the body. These are new types of formulas. For example, the new formulas of today shouldn't have any copper in them. Why? Because America has too much copper in its diet. Who needs iodine anymore? Everything you eat is salted. So the formulas today are giving us the biochemical material to produce these feelings. A lot of times, for example, people would buy ionization. They would have a good results with ionization after a while, and then they wouldn't feel it anymore. Why? Because it depleted certain reservoirs in their body, and they weren't taking their biochemistry to go along with their ionization. Or the other thing happens. The person goes to the biochemistry, their vitamins and their minerals and their herbs and their other programs are on, but they don't have ionization. So as a result, they don't get the electricity, and the biochemistry doesn't work. So you need both. You need to understand both. Okay? Is there any questions at this point on any of the things that I'm talking about? I like questions, you know. I haven't been in Florida in 3 or 4 years. I've been in the laboratory developing a lot of products, and I need to get back in touch with everybody down here. You know, each area that I go into, the needs are different, the air is different, the water is different, all the things are different. So I need a little input, you know, to be led. Yeah. Okay, the lady is asking, how do you go about synthesizing the vitamins and the ionizers? First of all, select a good ionizer. Select one that's self-cleaning, that doesn't get the walls dirty. Select one that circulates the air. It should have a fan system in it. Okay? Put one in your home. Find out the capacity, the cubic capacity and the square foot capacity, and how it behaves with windows and doors open and windows and doors closed. So know the product. Okay? In biochemistry, get things that are natural. Get things that are synergized together. In other words, a lot of the combinations that were before on the markets didn't work. They worked against each other. For example, if you're taking vitamin C with vitamin E, don't. Okay? Because they work against each other. Unless they're in a formula whereby the water soluble breaks down at one time and the oil soluble works down another. And this is called synergistic time release. And this is available. But don't get the type of time release where they use hard sugars like they do in Contact and one a day and those kinds of things, because those end up in the sewer. Your body won't even break down the outer plastic coating on some of those pills. So get things that are natural, that have no additives, no preservatives, no starches. Start at that point and then work through that. Another question. Yes. An ionizer. Right, right. These are people. Exactly. That is very true. That is very true. However, don't jump ahead too quickly. There's probably only in this world right now a dozen people that are doing those things, and in a population of over 4 billion, the ego can get in the way and say that you're ready. These people that are doing this are typically living in much cleaner, healthier environments than we're in now. So don't start too soon thinking you can do it. It might take a lot more than just one lifetime to do that. It might take many, many eons of energies and understandings to do this. You can't just do it overnight. It's like becoming a vegetarian. It takes 21 years to become a vegetarian if you've had meat at all in your life. Because the body, for example, where do you get your B12 from? A vegetarian, it takes 21 years to synthesize from nitrogen the proteins that you need. That's what the breatharians are able to do. The pituitary gland can provide protein synthesis from nitrogen if you teach it. But I wouldn't dare anybody in this room to try that exercise without the proper training. Okay? So now what we have to do is we have to practice what we call life extension to maintain normalcy at this point in time. Okay? Example, the sunlight. A few years ago, we did some experiments with pyramids, growing plants in total darkness that required sunlight, and growing plants in the sun that required sunlight. Now, in sunlight is a particle called the vitality globule. It's the energizing or vitalizing force of a negative ion. When we put the plants out in the sun that required the sun for 2 weeks, they grew a couple of inches. The pyramid placed on the plants in total darkness inside of a closet grew about a foot in 2 weeks. So people said, oh, the pyramid allowed the, you know, made the plant grow faster in 4 or 5 times. No, it didn't. The pyramid was only providing a constant source of the vitality globule without the interference of ultraviolet rays. So we have to understand that a lot of these things that we need to practice will only give us a normal behavioral pattern so we can at least maintain our self-respect to show that to our children. Okay? It's like if you don't care about yourself, think about the next generation. There isn't a child born today that may see the environment that all of us had when we were born, because the environment when we were born was a whole lot different space than this. Just take vitamin E, for example, which is a very strong antioxidant. The same meal that you eat today that you ate 50 years ago has 50 times less the vitamin E in it that we have today. So what happens is you see heart problems, right? Because without antioxidants, you start getting cholesterol levels going crazy, right? You start getting serum calcium deposits in the bloodstream. You start getting poor circulation. And so you end up like my chief engineer at 39 years old this year. He had a massive coronary and died. So these formulas in back in nutrition addressing you again, you go into things like oral chelation, these kinds of oral formulas that you take. Instead of taking the EDTA, which is too expensive, you take an oral chelation every day. You take it with your meals to bring your cholesterol levels, to get the heavy lead and cadmium out. How many of you ever go a day or two without eating and get a headache? Ever had that happen? You know what causes that? Automobile exhaust, cadmium and lead buildup in the brain. You breathe in through into your oxygen, comes in, bam, goes in the lungs. Goes from the lungs through the back part of the heart and right up into the brain. Starts depositing right at the cerebellum, base of the brain. That's where the headache will start, and it goes forward. You're on your way to senility and a shutdown of the endocrine system. The back of the brain is for balance, the center of it is for body control, and the front of it is for thought and reasoning. And you can see how people's behavioral patterns degrade themselves by understanding how much cadmium and lead poisoning that you get. That's why we produce the ionizer for the car, for example. Look at the red blood cell and look at carbon monoxide. If you're going down the freeway and you're behind a bus, your body will absorb carbon monoxide 200,000 times more readily than it will oxygen. So what do? You have to use ionization in the car. What are the effects of carbon monoxide poisoning? Very simple. First, you get very mentally wired, very kind of angry, apprehensive. So you become a defensive driver. You become daring. You just get crazy. Then what happens is when you stop driving, you fall asleep. You get real relaxed, and then you just sort of collapse. Your motivation goes away. It takes 8 hours to get rid of those symptoms. People in Los Angeles that drive on the freeways, for example, or any large city, more than 8 minutes in bumper-to-bumper traffic will exhibit those symptoms. They get to their job. They don't even know why they're going when they get there. They just want to think about going home, right? And then what happens is just about the time you get off work, you're back in the freeway again. You're getting smogged out. So you get home and you get angry with your kids, your wife. You take it out on them for 2 or 3 hours. Then you finally, and you say, oh, leave me alone, I'm unwinding. Well, you're not unwinding. You're carbon monoxide poisoned. So after 2 or 3 hours, the high toxic levels are out of your body and you become sort of balanced again because you're used to being that fried during the week. And you say, this is my weekly fried feeling. But we accept these things as our lifestyle. So finally, to make a long story short, is you maintain this consciousness all week long until Saturday comes. Saturday, if you're smart, you don't get on the freeway, and by Sunday, about midday, you start to feel normal again. On Sunday, your personality is a whole lot different than it is on Friday afternoon. It shouldn't be. You created that, now you've got to uncreate that. These are things. This is what blocks this internal energy, the high creative consciousness that we're all blessed with and are trying totally to destroy. This is carbon monoxide poisoning. Everybody in here probably has a taste of it if you drove in today. You know, if you want to feel a good feeling, go over to booth 44 sometime today and stand in front of about 10 ionizers that put out some ions, and you'll feel the difference. Okay, another question back there. Okay, question number one. What does it do to carbon monoxide? Does nothing but slightly displaces it, and it removes it from your body very rapidly. It's still there. It hasn't solved the problem. It just solved the effect. Okay? Question number two about Huntington Beach. I live in Laguna Beach. The air in Laguna Beach is a lot worse than it is here. But there's another type of pollution down here. There's a microwave pollution here, and there's a psychic pollution that's here. It's very intense. It's very close to the Bermuda Triangle. So there's other things that happen. Last night I had a very, very good experience here, and I felt the energies that are coming from the Bermuda Triangle now. You see, the Earth has a force field that the Tibetans call the Anima Mundi. This is the precursor for the bioplasmic field that's produced by the Earth's core that produces magnetism. This field of the Earth is what your body charges off of when you go to sleep at night. When you go to sleep at night, 80% of your nutrition is used up in your brain, and your body has to charge off this Earth's field. Unfortunately, this Earth's field is not tuned to the Aquarian or the new beginning type consciousness people. In other words, the new enterprises. The force field of the Earth is attuned to the growth-resistant generation. In other words, greed, pilferage, these kinds of feelings. That's what our force field of our Earth has tuned itself to. Now, an epicenter for that happens to be a few miles south of here and a few miles east out in the ocean. That center is fed by this negativity, and it's growing. You can invert that by understanding how to deal with it, but the fact is it's happening. I like to come and play in that energy, but I wouldn't want to live in it. I'll take my air pollution from Laguna Beach, California, versus the psychic energy that's out here. And if you think I'm kidding, if you'll study this book, it even talks about those kinds of energies. They have cloaking devices now around embassies to block this, because through the science of radionics, right, which is in Europe, it's as common as medicine over here, this is where they have psychic warfare. It's going on now. So what we have to do is we have to play measures with that. So we're coming into a Star Wars generation, but we better arm ourselves, our temples, first. This is exactly what happened during previous civilizations, and a lot of them were erased in the process. Another thing that we're not aware of that affects our internal energies is our location in the universe. For example, our sun goes around the central sun. There are different motions in the universe which produce different effects on the body. We rotate around a sun in the Pleiades every 25,872.5 years. This is called the precession of the equinoxes. During this time, we have 12,000 years of light and 12,000 years of darkness. 12,000 years of darkness means our body does not respond very coherently, consciously, to the outside stimulus. It kind of goes to sleep, and we have like a barbaric time. When we go into the consciousness of the light, our body responds to the subtlest, finest vibrations of the universe, the bathing of energies from the stars, the changes in the planetary fields, line of sight energies, all these kinds of things. So we have to take that into consideration. We're a lot more sensitive to these kinds of pollution than we would have been 300 or 400 years ago. So this is a whole other science that's coming out. It's a science of time and motion. The ancients knew about it. It was all depicted in the pyramid, for example. Like if you were to take the Great Pyramid, look at the base dimension, which is 12,000 some odd pyramid inches, and multiply it times 2, you come out with the precession of the equinox. So the ancients knew about it. Civilizations have risen and fallen during these processions, and that's what von Däniken was talking about, because he would see different cities in different times that evolved to a high level of technology. For example, if we had a thermonuclear war today, 1,000 years from now, there wouldn't be much of a trace of this technology. Just a few survivors would be starting all over again. So it goes on and on and on. And our sensitivities go up. At least our awareness is up now to the point we realize that nobody wins during a confrontation, which might have been a step greater than where we were at 25 or 12,000 years ago, when we probably reached the same point as a society. So we do have an evolutionary growth out of this experience thing, but you know, to have the attention span to go back and reflect on the mistakes we've made takes some kind of being to do that, and a lot of us don't have that attention span. For example, at some point in our lives, we deprived ourselves of so much vitamin C that our bodies couldn't even produce it anymore. We and guinea pigs are in the same family. Rabbits and other animals can synthesize vitamin C. So in our previous evolution, we did that. Nature wasn't foolish enough to do that. We did it to ourselves because we have our freedom. We were once given the powers of nature, but we lost them because we misused them. Yeah. Right. Well, a good question. She wants to know how to protect yourself. There's four booths full of products here that will help you. Okay, I mean, out here, you'll find, if you don't believe in the products, just get their literature and study it and watch the effects. I'm not trying to sell anything from this platform, but there are devices available now. These devices have been used in Europe for over 50 years in some cases, okay? Everything from the polarizer in Wayne Cook's booth, the receptor in the Donsbach booth, things that Flanagan brought, his sensors, those kinds of things. For air pollution, we have car ionizers. There's two or three booths out there with car ionizers. There's different things on room ionizers and air cleaning systems. There's some of the state-of-the-art nutritional systems out there. There are exercise equipments out there, like for reverse gravity to relieve the stress on the spine, upside-down types of things, like the backies that have been developed, those kinds of things. There are enough things here to start you in some direction if you consciously and coherently apply yourself to these things. Don't buy something and take it home and look at it. Buy something because you feel it's going to do something for you, and you should get a feeling from it before you even buy it. Okay? Yes. Can you run an ion generator? Yes, you can, but you should keep it away from the memory. Okay? And if you put an ion generator with a computer, and I'm sure some of you have those because they're getting very popular. Most of the little store-bought computers you buy won't be affected by it. But if it's a real delicate computer, keep the ionizer away from it, pointed in the opposite direction. Okay. Usually what we do is our ionizers have a fan system in them. So we'll put them up on a shelf towards the ceiling, opposite side of the room of the computer. The charges that get across the room will be so low in potential, they won't affect and wipe out the memory. What they'll do is they'll erase your memory if you're not careful. Yeah. Point it the other way. Correct. Yes. Right. Exactly. No, she's asking if plants and foliage in your home, especially needled plants, is enough for ionization. The answer is no. In the Global 2000 report, it talks about deforestation. On the average, for example, we're stripping our land right now on the surface of the earth, the size of the state of California annually. That means that we'll run out of air before the next century, the middle of the next century. It says it in the air report. So because of that effect, the air in your room, which once would have been served by plants, won't be anymore because the air that's coming to your room is already starved. There's not to take a lot of plants to support one human being. Okay? Yes. Right. Okay, he's saying he knew a man that had a table fountain. This is talking about water spray, like waterfalls. Okay, when water strikes an object, it crashes with a solid and it changes its velocity and it releases a negative ion. This is called the Lennard effect. Okay, waterfalls produce 100 to 250 to a million ions per cubic centimeter around them. A small fountain in the house will work, but it will only serve an area within 4 or 5 or 6 feet around it. Whereas an ionizer will put an ion out and then create an airstream for it and move it much further. So water fountains do work slightly, but they're not as strong as ionizers. Okay? Question back here. Okay, is an ionizer effective if you have all the windows open? It depends on where the ionizer is placed and how the winds are blowing. For example, if you have a house that has a front and a back, and you open the windows in the front and the air goes to the back, you put the ionizer with the wind stream because the ions are in the wind. If you put the ionizer in the back, the ions will blow out the window. Okay? If there's no wind blowing, then the ionizer won't be affected by the fact that the window is open or closed. Now, if you go into an air ionizer cleaning system, like an air scrubber, for example, like the one Donsbach produces, that
you would want to have the windows closed because it's cleansing the air with a special electrostatic grid system of the chemicals that are in there. It will remove the carbon monoxide. It will remove the fluorocarbons that are generated. It has that capability. So that kind of a machine, you would want to close everything up. Plus, they have dust filters in those kinds of machines, and you won't have to dust your house near as often. Yeah. Yeah. No, living on a boat doesn't give you any more ionizers than somebody living on the desert unless you're right on the seashore where the waves are breaking. Still water produces no negative ions at all. Zero. Still water used to produce 75% of the oxygen on this planet, however, the ocean water, due to the algae that are out from the surface to 75 feet. But once we started having oil spills and supertankers, then we destroyed the Earth's ocean effects of being able to produce the proper atmosphere. So the water is really polluted now. Yeah. No, central air conditioning will not circulate ionization. It will destroy it. What you have to do is place the ionizers away from the air circulation systems, preferably ionizers with their own fans. The other thing is, if you have a static ionizer, one that has no fan, you would put it on the output of the duct of your fan system, on the output. Now, if your ionization is working for you, you'll notice the difference, okay? It's not like you have to guess at it. One of the first things that people say is, does somebody turn the air conditioning on? Why? Because the circulation is enhanced. The second thing that you'll notice is acclimation. You may feel a little bit sick around it for the first day or two because your toxins are going out of your body. In Southern California, for example, if we drive up to the mountains where the air is cleaner, we'll typically sleep for 1 or 2 days and then get revitalized and start really getting going. This is called acclimation. Ionization eliminates that. You're acclimated all the time. Okay? Sleep. When you sleep with ionization, you're going to find that you require probably 20% less sleep if you have effective ionization, because the body is recharging, and you'll probably start dreaming within 1 or 2 hours of going to sleep rather than early in the morning or after you get up a time or two. Why? Because the oxygen to the brain is increased. The capacity for brain oxygen is enhanced because it's not blocked. So there's a lot of things that you'll notice. If you're not noticing these things, your ionizer is something wrong with it. It's not positioned right. You should have a dramatic increase in energy from it. Yeah. Okay, he's asking about these precipitators. That's the old Honeywell system. The old Honeywell system used a voltage of 5 kV. They produce no ionization. They do air cleaning only. There's no ion from those. No ions out. You must have a potential of at least 25,000 volts to do anything in a room. I found that out. And you need a pulse DC. If you use the old AC like the European systems are using, you get ozone. Pulse DC produces no ozone. You don't want ozone in your body. Yeah. No. Can you get too much? Absolutely not. Do you ever get around the waterfalls for too long? Do you ever have to? You ever say, I've had too much time on the seashore? I mean, really. No, there's not too much. Way back there. Okay, what is the similarity? All right, good question. Similarity is this. The ion generator produces a particle and sends it through the air to cause a chemical change. This can be verified by taking a grapefruit juice and putting it in front of an ionizer. It will change from bitter to sweet. This is when we talked about on the early chart, we said minerals, enzymes, vitamins, proteins, right? Well, going back to minerals to enzymes, enzyme is pH, potential hydrogen. If the enzymes aren't in a certain value in the human body, you cannot assimilate your food. So what happens is, and realize that we're breathing acid air, we have acid fog out there, realize that we need to balance our body's electrical potentials. So when you wear a device like this, what it does, it produces a change within the nucleus of the atom, within the metabolism. This, if dropped into a cup of coffee or dropped into a grapefruit juice, will do the same thing. It will make it sweet. Or you can do a very similar experiment. You can do a breathing exercise with the stomach, bellows breath, like that. Rub your hands together till you feel friction. Breathe at the same time and put them over something, and it will change the taste or the pH. You can measure with sensitive litmus paper. It's the same thing. This is prana. Because when you breathe the air, your body has the ability to transmute the air into the vitality globule and project it. So you can actually do that. But unfortunately, this saves a lot of extra breathing. Ionization saves a lot of extra breathing, and you have more time to concentrate on other things. All of this, there's three or four different ways to produce it.
We'll continue this next week. Sorry, that kind of abruptly stopped, but we ran out of time. So we will continue next week.